have Abusa Moses with us this morning, and he is the director of Word India. He's already given you an introduction to the ministry that he has, and if you were paying attention, how many preaching points do they have? 12. How many pastors does he oversee? 7. And so he also knows 7 languages, although I think he's just going to be speaking English this morning. He could speak to us in any of 6 other languages. Now, he is here for the annual conferences of the Southern Methodist Church and has already been to 2. He'll be at the Eastern Conference later this week. And we've never had him here at Leedsville before, and so we wanted to take this opportunity. Tonight he'll be down at Batesburg, and we just wanted you to be exposed to his ministry. We have budgeted $1,800 this year for this work in India, and for those of you who are giving or for those of you who would like to get in on it, this gives you a better idea of what you're supporting. And so we're going to turn the balance of the service over to you, Brother Moses. We're glad you're here. God bless you.
Okay. Good morning. I hope you all are doing well. I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's my immense pleasure to stand before you all to share the Word of God. Before going to the Word of God, I want to thank our pastor, Dr. Vic Reisner, and the elders of the church and the members of the church for giving me this opportunity to stand before you all. And also I want to thank each and every one of you from the bottom of my heart for the support and the prayers you have been rendering for the sake of our ministry back in India. I know 7 languages. If I speak in other languages, I'll be very fluent, but you would not understand that. In English, I can speak a little bit of it, but not as you all speak. I'm not so fluent in English. But anyhow, I hope you understand my accent. You understand my the way I speak to you all, because we studied English in India, which is British English. And I hope you understand better. And I would be very glad to inform you all that the churches in Word India sending their greetings to everyone, especially those who are really supporting us and praying for us. For this morning, the scripture portion has been taken from this Second Timothy chapter 4, verses commencing from 2-8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses commencing from 2-8. I'll be reading it for you. Please listen carefully the word of God. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will in turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do not do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Let's bow down our heads and look to the Lord in prayer. Our most heavenly gracious Father, we do thank thee, praise thee for the wonderful privilege that thou art given for us. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to come unto thy sanctuary, praise you, worship you. And as we are going to meditate your word, O Father, we pray that you be with us. You speak to us. You speak to our hearts. Help us to understand your word, O Father.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Notice with me what the Apostle Paul says in verse 6. It's a very important verse. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Before coming to United States, I thought of, you know, buying things for my personal belongings or my medicine before I get into the flight. I thought of buying it 2 days before. But the day I wanted to buy things, there was a riot in my area. And there was a closure of all the malls, shops, medical stores, rail, trains, buses. Everything was closed down for 2 days before my travel. I could not buy anything. I came here without my medicine, without my personal belongings. Anyhow, God was gracious in doing or helping me out certain things. Why I'm just reminding this one is, I just want to ask you a question this morning. Is your ship ready to sail? In other words, is your plane ready to fly? I heard a pastor is leaving for Nigeria next week. He will not go to Nigeria without his belongings, right? He has to carry his suitcase, his belongings, his clothes, his medicine, whatever is needed. He needs to take all those things. No one in this world will go to any place without being ready, getting ready. The question that I want to ask this morning is, Paul is ready to be to leave the land or to leave this world and to depart to the world that God had prepared for him already. Paul makes this statement at the end of his life. At the end of his life. He's writing to Timothy, the second Timothy. Just before he was to be beheaded for the cause of Christ or the gospel. The word departure makes one think of a ship or a plane or a bus or a car, whatever it is, to go ahead. Paul was saying that the end of his life was very near to him. It was very near. We see in verses 6 and 7. He says that, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. However, his ship was ready to set sail. He was ready to depart this life and go to the next. Why? Because Paul knew he had some eternal cargo. You understand what I mean to say? Paul knew he had some eternal cargo on board to take home with him. I boarded the flight in Hyderabad, the city of Hyderabad. My luggage was now checked in. And the baggage that I was carrying into the cabin, they wanted me to take it through the security check-in. I took it and they searched all my bag, they searched my whole body, and my belongings, my purse, I mean my wallet, my belt, everything. In United States, even my shoes were checked, and they were, in India they don't check shoes, but in US they even check shoes, whatever it is. Everything was checked in, and my cargo or my belongings were given green signal by the security people, and those things came into the flight. And I'm going to carry them to the United States. I brought them with me. The same way, Paul had some eternal cargo with him to take home, the home where God had prepared for him. Just look at what Paul had to say about what was waiting for him when he got to the shores of heaven. In verse 8. Finally, there is laid up for me the cross of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge. Do you understand the word over there? There is no other person. We were having Sunday class on judges, right? There were different types of judges. All sorts of judges. They were judging people. They were trying to put people straight, makes people straight. We see the righteous judge, the judge of judges, in other words, right? We see the righteous judge who is ready with the crown of righteousness to give it to Paul. To give it to Paul. My dear brothers and sisters, let us take a look of some of the cargo that Paul had on board to take home to heaven. Number one, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. It clearly mentions. It is a very nice word. I love that word. Chapter 2, verse 12. If we enter, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. In other translations or in other versions, it says, if we suffer, you understand, my dear brothers and sisters? If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. We shall also reign with him. Paul certainly suffered for the sake of Christ. Do you accept with me? Paul certainly suffered. He had a lot of suffering. Those things are mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses commencing from 21 to 30. If you can read, that would be very wonderful. And also in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 to 11. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses commencing from 8 to 11. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus. My dear brothers and sisters, you must know, Paul even said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Paul suffered when he lived in this world for the sake of God's glory or for the glory of Jesus Christ. He suffered for Christ. The number one thing Paul had in his cargo was the suffering. The suffering. Paul was having suffering as a luggage, as a baggage that was to be taken to heaven. Number two, Apostle Paul was known to be a soul winner. He won so many souls, thousands of souls. He preached gospel to so many souls. So many people accepted Jesus because of his preaching, because of his ministry. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Paul was a wise person because he was winning souls for the sake of God's glory. Paul would be taking in lots of souls that he had won to the Lord to heaven. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. It's very clear. Our hope, our crown of rejoicing. The souls are our hope and our crown of rejoicing. And the souls are our glory and joy in heaven. In heaven. Paul was taking souls with him. He was taking suffering with him in his cargo. He was taking souls in his cargo. In his luggage, in his baggage. The souls were a hope and a crown of rejoicing. Souls were the glory and joy. The Bible witnesses to the fact that Apostle Paul established many New Testament churches in most of the known world at that time. I may have planted 12 churches and preaching points in India. Preaching points means, you know, which are not organized churches. There are 5 organized Southern Methodist churches in India, and the others are unorganized Southern Methodist churches in India. We have 7 pastors that are working with me. That may be a boastful thing for me, but just imagine Paul planting so many churches at his time, at his time. It was not an easy thing to plant churches in those days. It was not an easy thing. Nowadays, India is a little bit open to the gospel. People want to hear the gospel. People want to know what is Jesus Christ, who is Jesus Christ. There is a chance of, or the scope of, you know, planting church in India, but in spite of certain problems and persecution we face in India. But Paul's time, he had lots of problems. Even in spite of all those problems, he was able to plant so many churches. The proof is the epistles that he wrote, and he was addressing to the people in those churches. This is evidenced by Book of Acts. It is written in Book of Acts. And the many epistles or letters Paul wrote to encourage and exhort the churches that he had established. He used to write, you know, all the letters, whenever we see Paul's letter, he addresses the church. He addresses the church. And those epistles prove that Paul was an instrument in planting those churches. Paul had suffering in his cargo, in his luggage. Number two, Paul had souls in his luggage, in his cargo. Number three, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25-26. Chapter 9, verse 25-26. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. My dear brothers and sisters, Paul is very clearly stating in his letter to Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, he is disciplining his body. In other words, he had self-control. He had self-control. Number one, Paul had suffering in his luggage to the eternal home. Number two, Paul had souls in his luggage to the eternal home. Number three, Paul had self-control. Self-control. That Paul lived a life of self-control is further evidenced by what he had to say to the people of this world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In verse 23 of chapter 10 in 1 Corinthians, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Edify not. My dear brothers and sisters, Paul had self-control. He disciplined his body. He disciplined his body. Yesterday, Dr. Ravi Krishna took me to a Japanese restaurant in Clinton. I had shrimp, rice, and what's that? Carrot, broccoli. Yeah? It's a different food for me. He wanted me to have rice. If I take more rice, you know what will happen to me? My body grows. I'll put on weight. My carbohydrates raise. My fat, the percentage of my fat, the cholesterol goes up. Already I'm a diabetic. If I eat more rice, what will happen to my body? Of course, out of love, Dr. Rick Reisner, he took me there. I cannot say no because he loved me so much. I ate it. If I eat more and more and more, every day Japanese restaurant, every day Chinese restaurant, what would happen to my health? I got to discipline my body. I should have self-control. I should have self-control. I was traveling with Reverend Marvin Clark, the missions director of our denomination. I was with him for the past 8 days. We have been to Louisiana, we have been to Mississippi, attended two different conferences. And he used to take me to different restaurants. Every restaurant had carbs more on their food. Am I right? Americans eat lots of carbs. I mean carbohydrates. They are very strong people. But if we are not going to discipline our bodies, we are going to be sick. Paul was very much clear on that. He was self-disciplined person. He had self-control on all his things. Whatever he does. He was a self-controlled person. Number one, Paul had, what he had number one? He had sufferings in his luggage. Number two, he had souls in his luggage. Number three, he had self-control in his luggage. Number four, see Acts chapter 20, verse 17 to 27. It says, Paul, it recognizes, or those verses recognizes the service of Paul. Verse 19 says, he had been serving the Lord. In verse 20, Acts chapter 20, verse 20, kept nothing back that was profitable. He kept nothing back. He gave up everything. Verse 20 says, stood and taught the word of God. He was serving the Lord, my dear brothers and sisters. Verse 21, it says, he was testifying. Paul continually testified how to be saved. He never stopped himself. 4 years ago, I was in Dallas doing some open air preaching with Ray Comfort, Living Waters. And I was with the team over there. And we have been to a ranch, you know, the horse ranch. I've seen many ranches over here. And there was a big meeting, a Baptist meeting, very big crusade. And people were coming in, you know, flooding in like anything. We thought of doing some kind of open air preaching or giving our tracts in that area. And at the entrance, we were not disturbing anybody there. At the entrance, people were standing and they simply said, you know, talking to each other without going into the meeting. So what me, I was with the camera, because I cannot speak good English in front of, you know, people outside. I was given a camera to shoot everything, whatever they have been doing. So the team that was with me, they were trying to share the gospel, and they were attracting people to give away the gospel to them, to give away the tract to them. Now suddenly a lady came in. A security uniform. She came in between and she stopped them doing gospel. She literally stopped these people who were sharing gospel in a gospel crusade. I was shocked. Do you understand? In US, in Dallas, a Christian meeting, a Christian crusade, crusade was not start yet. People were flooding in, they were going in. These people were giving tracts and sharing gospel to the people who were getting inside. And a security lady comes in and she stops everything. That happened in America. I shot that video, and that video is with Living Waters. Why I'm telling this? This is my dear brothers and sisters. We may feel that we are okay in our churches. We are okay with what the preacher is preaching, but we are not giving our service to the Lord. We will not be giving our service to the Lord. It says, Paul continually testified how to be saved. In verse 22 and 23 of Acts 20, tells us that Paul risked life for the cause of Christ. He risked life. None of these things move me. He says, none of these things will move me. I will be serving God. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. He says in verse 24 of Acts 20 of Acts, I neither count my life dear unto me. Paul is saying that he did not let anything stop him, even if it meant risking his own life to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul was, you know, he was very sincere in his service. The fourth thing Paul had in his luggage was service. Number five. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. Paul says, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. The less I will be loved. Notice Paul says, I will very gladly spend. I will very gladly spend what he has. He is very glad in spending things. He is very glad. Paul practiced what he preached. Hello? You understand? Paul practiced what he preached. He very gladly gave. He very gladly gave or spent to the Lord. He was a cheerful giver. Did you know that the Apostle Paul never went full time? He never went full time. Am I right, brother? Dr. Vickrey, sir? Paul did not go for full time ministry. He was earning for himself. He was a tent maker. Am I right? He was a tent maker. He doesn't want to be a burden to people. Doesn't want to be a burden to people. And he often had to work to support himself, as he doesn't want to be a burden to the people, especially to the cheap state Christians that made up the Church of Corinthians. Made up the Church of Corinthians. He was a tent maker by trade. By trade. The Apostle Paul gave up of our own material possessions and finances to further the gospel of the kingdom. That is the spending. That is the spending. If God comes and asks you, see, don't take me in another way. I'm just preaching what the word is saying. If God comes and asks you, give away your possessions to me, would you do that? Give away a car to me, would you do that? If God comes and asks you, give away everything that you had, will you be in a position to do that? No. But Paul was in a position to give away everything to the Lord. That is called spending. Not only spending, just think of it. Even in the second verse of 15th verse in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, he says, I will be very glad to spend and be spent, my dear brothers and sisters. Here Paul also says, not only spending what he had, but also he is ready to give himself physically and emotionally to the point of death for the cause of Christ. For the cause of Christ. That is the spend. The spend. He was ready to spend and be spent. My dear friends, Paul knew very well what it was like to be used and be abused by other Christians. If you really give to the Lord, if you're really interested in spending your life for the sake of God's glory, people sometimes may not like you. They may not like you. We want people to praise us, or we want people to say, "Oh, Moses, you're doing good job, great job, right? Good job, great job." People, I would like to be commented by like that. I want people to comment me, "Moses, you are doing a wonderful job. Moses, you are doing a wonderful job." But I don't like people commenting or talking ill of me. Am I right? Everyone are the same. Everyone are the same. But if you are really for the sake of God's glory, if you are for the sake of cross, if you are for the sake of Christ, if you are for the sake of the glory of Jesus Christ, you will be not loved by the people. People don't like you. People would oppress you. The same thing happened to Paul. Though the more abundantly I love you, he says in verse 15, the less I be loved. The less I be loved. My dear brothers and sisters, he was very glad to spend and to be spent. Five things Paul had in his luggage. Number one, Paul had suffering. Number two, Paul had souls in his luggage. Number three, Paul had self-control. Self-control in his luggage. Number four, Paul had service. Number five, Paul had spend and be spent in his luggage. Spend and be spent in his luggage. How about you this morning? Think about yourself. Is your ship ready to sail? Is your plane ready to fly? Are you ready to go in your car? And do you have all the luggage that Paul had in his luggage? Do you have an eternal cargo on board to take to heaven's shore? There is a saying in India, one comes without anything to this world and goes without anything from this world. But I would like to say, as a preacher, if you come to this world without anything, but you can go to the place where you came from with something, like Paul did. You may say, oh, I have plenty of time before it is my time to depart. There was 15 days to 20 days time for me before I flew to United States. But I postponed buying things before I go to US. 2 days before I go to US. But what happened? There was a riot. I was unable to get things. I had enough time. I had 10 days of time, 13 days of time. But I did not make up in those 13 days. I wanted to try in 2 days before I fly. But I was unable to get anything. You may be feeling that, oh, I have plenty of time. I have plenty of time before it is my time to depart. We don't know when we will be leaving this world. My dear friend, we are not promised tomorrow. We are not promised tomorrow. None of us know when we will breath our last breath. David said, there is but a step between me and death. There is but a step between me and death. In 1 Samuel chapter 20 verse 3. The word of God tells us in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What cargo do you have on board? Have you laid up any treasure in heaven? What have you done with the money God gave you? It's not you got it. Was any of it spent on supporting a good local Bible believing church? Was any of it spent on supporting missions? Of course, this church is a wonderful church in supporting missions. I really appreciate that what you're doing. Have you led anyone to the Lord? When is the last time you handed out a gospel tract? Let me ask you this question. You may be living as a Christian for the past 50 years, 40 years, 60 years, 70 years. May I ask you this question? How many times have you shared the gospel to the non-believer? When was the last time you gave away the gospel tract to persons, to people? 60 years of your life, you lived in this world. Not just giving money is enough to God's glory, but have you done something? When is the last time you gave someone your testimony, if you have one? When was the last time? How Jesus saved you and your life and your family, did you ever say to the people? When is the last time you stood for the things for God? Things for God. My dear brothers and sisters, let me tell you, Paul stood for everything for the sake of God's glory, in spite of his life, threatening things. He was in a situation that he is going to die, but even though he was standing for the glory of God. When was the last time you had some slam a door in your face for trying to witness to them about Christ? Did anyone say to you, were you in a position to suffer for the sake of God's glory? For the glory of God? Do you know that people are aware where you stand on certain things? Like prayer in the school. Do you know where do you stand? What is your stand on certain things? Prayer in school, the Ten Commandments. We were just having the Sunday class, and a dear sister, she was talking on certain things. And one thing that made me to think is the way people treat sexuality in the United States. I've been listening to so many things and reading those papers. What is our stand on those things? we were told this morning that there was a news and a gay parade was going on. The military people were in that gay parade. What is your stand? Open stand, I mean to say. Don't hide it in yourself. What is your open stand on these things? Are you ready to suffer for the sake of God's glory? For God's glory, my dear brothers and sisters. There are certain things in India. People are afraid to say that they are Christians because of some people. Because of some people. What is your stand on abortion? What is your stand on adultery and fornication? What is your stand on support of the church? Whatever it is, anything for that matter. What is your stand? Open stand, public stand. Are you ready to take up the challenge for the sake of God's glory? Are you ready to take up, my dear brothers and sisters? We may be good in coming to church every Sunday, sitting in the pews, listening to what preacher is saying and just go away. If possible, sleep for some time when preacher is preaching. Right? They're okay with those things. But what happens? What happens if you stand for God's glory? If you stand for the right thing? For the right thing. I really appreciate Dr. Rick Reisner for his stand for the sake of the fundamental gospel, Bible believing things. There are certain theologians who do not want to make a stand, take a stand. They are very liberal in their thinking. Are you a spend and be spent Christian? Do you like to spend your things and to spend your life for the glory of God? Do you give gladly your material possessions or do you give out of compulsion? Would there be enough evidence in a court of law to convict you being a Christian? Would there be any evidence if you stand in the court of law in this world to be convicted to be a Christian? Let us ask ourselves. Let us question ourselves. Let us question ourselves. Let us not be a nominal Christian, a Christian that goes to church every Sunday. Let us be a Christian or a believer that stands for the glory of God, that lives for the glory of God. If we are really living for the glory of God, our church will not be empty. It will be full. Stand for God's glory. Live for God's glory. God is going to take you to the heights in your life. So, is your ship ready to sail? Is your plane ready to fly? Is your luggage ready to take in to your ship? Is your luggage ready to take in through your flight? My dear brothers and sisters, Paul had luggage. If we do not have luggage, that means our ship is not going to the place where it had to go. It is going to somewhere else. We need to have certain things to carry with us to heaven, if you want to go to heaven. My dear brothers and sisters, let us think about these things, question ourselves about these things and try to set right things if things are not according to God's will, and be ready to go whenever God calls you home. Whenever God calls you home. Let us bow down our heads and look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Father, thank you Lord for being with us this morning. Thank you Lord for speaking to us. Yes Lord, Paul had luggage to take with him. Paul had certain things that so that he can carry with him. Lord, help us to prepare our luggage in this world, our baggage in this world, so that we may come to you with our luggage and be blessed with your love, with your crown of righteousness, with joy and glory. Help us to understand your will in our lives. Thank you for being with us. Bless this church, the pastor, each and every one of them. We do not know what are the needs that some people may have, O Lord. We pray that every need, financially, physically, spiritually, healthy, health-wise, O Father God, we bless each and every one of them. Lead us and guide us. In Jesus' precious name we pray.